Well, hello, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop. For Tuesday, November 29th, I'm Alan Chartok. Today, we'll take a look at how President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet is shaping up. Who are the Republican picks for some of the top spots in the federal government? What do you think? Do the choices make sense? What about it? So give us a call. The number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the show at voxpop@wamc.org. Your calls and emails and all coming up. You know, when? Well, I'll tell you when, right after this news. Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop on this Giving Tuesday, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Donald Trump's cabinet is shaping up. Today, Georgia Congressman Tom Price, an orthopedic surgeon, was announced as Trump's pick for Secretary of Health and Human Services. In Congress, the Republican has introduced legislation to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Also today, word got out that Elaine Chao, the former Labor Secretary and wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, will be the Transportation Secretary under Trump. Betsy DeVos, a former head of the Michigan Republican Party, has been tapped as Education Secretary. She's a strong supporter of school choice. Meanwhile, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, a top Trump supporter, and Mitt Romney, once a vocal Trump critic, are being considered for Secretary of State. Those are just a few of President-elect Trump's picks. Now, keep in mind, most of the cabinet nominations require Senate confirmation. But in any case, how do you think these appointments will fare? Do the Republicans make sense for a Trump presidency that is set to work with a Republican-led Congress? What will be some of the signature issues they focus on? How do you think? How do you feel? 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Helen in New Windsor. Helen, thanks for hanging on that way. Go ahead. You're on.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi.
Well, you know, it's interesting that this is the topic today because I just spoke to a person that I know who voted for Trump and has no idea that part of his signature message in the campaign was getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. She is kind of shocked at that because she relies on the Affordable Care Act to get her health insurance.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it really matters at this point. I'm so awed by everything that's gone on and the people that voted for him that I don't think it matters that we talk about any of this because nobody else seems to care. How can somebody not know that?
Well, okay, let's assume that the American people, Trump himself, it was quite revealing when he said, you know, I love the undereducated.
Yes.
Okay, so let's assume that that's the case right now. But can you imagine, Helen, what's going to happen when somebody, one of the 20 million people who are now back on the healthcare rolls, getting something for themselves, who did not, by the way, bother to turn out in this election? I'm not going any further than that.
But it makes me crazy.
Are going to discover that their kid can't get healthcare because they voted for a guy who doesn't believe in it, who has enough for himself and his family. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, denial is part of the human condition.
Yes.
And I honestly feel, because I was on private health care insurance for many, many, many years.
Sure.
And I kept paying the premiums and paying the premiums. And, you know, I never really got angry. I got angry, but I think they'll just go back to the way it was, you know, what, 7 years ago, and just kind of go on from there. I really don't think that the anger will last. I think people do what they do to get by, and, you know, they liked their health insurance, even though they hated the fact that you know, it was there. They still had it. They were convinced that it was a bad thing, even though they used it and paid for it. I just think people are that stupid. I'm really coming to that conclusion. They'll just go back to the way it was and not even, they'll just go to the emergency room like they used to.
Well, the Helens of the world.
Yeah. This is not an uneducated woman either.
No, I know that. The Helens of the world can go back to the old way. You will. You'll find the money. You'll do what you have to do. And by the way, I don't know if you're on Medicare yet, but that
No, I'm not, but that's the other thing that's leaving us. And, you know, yeah. I spoke to my, that could be, potentially.
Absolutely.
And I talked to my my in-laws about that, and they're on Medicare. And they were just like, oh, well, you know, we also get health insurance, retirement health insurance. That'll just pick up the cost. We really don't care. We're old. We're going to be dead in the next 5 to 10 years, so what does it matter? People are funny. They really are. They don't fight for what's not there anymore.
Well, you may be right. Disappointingly, you may be right. But I got to tell you, there isn't much that would gets me out onto the streets. But you take away my Medicare, I'm going to be there.
Yes. I'll be at the march.
Sure.
The day after the inauguration. So maybe mostly just to make myself feel better. So, but I hope enough people go.
Okay. So sticking, Helen, if we may, with the cabinet appointees.
Yes.
You know, some of them, you know, are fairly safe.
They're crazy.
Some of them are awful.
You've got the Amway lady running the Department of Education.
Yes, and it's going to all be all charter schools all the time. And
maybe. And vouchers. You know, maybe not, but it's not going to be, you know, they'll try. What's going to happen is there's going to be so much more infighting between the Democrats and Republicans over all of these cabinet picks and what they want to do that literally nothing again will get done.
Oh, I'm not so sure.
That's important. I mean, they'll get some of their cabinet picks through, and they'll get a lot of their stuff done. I'm not going to argue that because they control all three, you know,
branches.
The House, the Senate. But it'll also, there'll be an impasse on other issues. Nothing, we'll have another 8 years of deadlock.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I'm not so sure you're right. I hope you are, but... But I'm not so sure. I mean, I think...
No, I know there's going to be some nasty business. I mean, I wonder if they will get the Medicare through. I mean,
that's a tough one. Sure, because that one, you know, there's some senator sitting out there who won by, you know, 16,000 votes, and they're hearing from their senior population, don't touch my Medicare. I think...
Well, no retiree in North Carolina is going to want it.
Yeah. Hey, Helen.
You know, you've got a lot of Northerners have gone down south.
Hey, Helen, you really have been wonderful and nice. Thank you so much for starting us out. You're very intelligent. Appreciate it a lot. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, and we'll go to Bruce in Kingston. The telephone number is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Hey, guys, it's your program. I want to hear from you. And there are plenty of free phones. Bruce in Kingston, you're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the call, and I certainly don't trust Trump on these appointments. To be more specific, the lady, the education, without even knowing her name, just given her background, you know, what is she going to do, dismantle public education? I have a fear of that. And something a lot of people may not know, her brother was head of, I don't know what is it called, Black Watch, or in Iraq, the group that shot all these people some years ago in Iraq. He's made millions of dollars. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but that's okay. I don't know a lot of things. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, I may have the name wrong, but, you know, when Bush, you know, didn't just use U.S. Army, he privatized or outsourced some of the protection. This was a private firm.
Oh, yeah. BlackRock.
Yeah. The other thing is, this is kind of a question. Do you really think they're going to dismantle Medicare?
I think they're going to try. And I think what they want to do, here's what they really want to do. They want to give it to their buddies on the street. So what they'll do is they'll say, okay, you know, but you have to buy it from one of these firms. That's what you have to do. So the United States government is doing a fabulous job. Fabulous job. Why should we cut these companies in on it? Because they are the people who paid for the election, and they're the people who love them, and who they have promised things to. That's what they want to do, and they've tried to do that in the past.
Oh my God. Well,
exactly.
Generally, I'll make two specific comments. The appointments are disappointments. And his threat or boast of draining the swamp is really going to be just the opposite. He's going to swamp the drain.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a brief, I mean really brief, seconds away, and then we're going to talk to Jeff and Gina and anybody else who's calling 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WMC comes from Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, making sense of investing. EdwardJones.com/TomMcRae. Union College Concert Series, presenting the Emerson String Quartet, performing works by Ravel, Shostakovich, and Debussy in the ensemble's 40th anniversary season. Sunday, December 4th, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. And Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, forthillautobody.com.
Thank you, Zach. We got a lot of people on the line. Let's start talking to them. We'll go first to Jeff in Troy. All right, Jeff, you're on.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Pretty good.
So I wanted to talk about Elaine Chao as transportation secretary.
Okay. Didn't you think that they missed the boat on that one? They should have given that one to Chris Christie, obviously.
Oh yeah, right.
You know, with his background in bridges and things. Yeah.
Well. Just a little history. You know, lots of times in the past, presidents have occasionally gone across the aisle for a cabinet secretary.
Right.
Very often that's been transportation.
Yeah.
If you remember when Obama
yeah.
started, he had a Republican congressman as transportation secretary. And some people had suggested that Joe Biden would make a great transportation secretary. But that obviously is not going to happen. Anyway, so Elaine Chao, you probably don't know much about her.
Correct.
Except that she's married to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Kind of weird. But she was a deputy secretary under George W. Bush of
right.
Transportation.
Right.
And she actually spoke for an hour on your radio station. Or I should say our radio station.
Uh-huh.
Probably, you know, during the Bush administration, she was on, I think it was probably the Commonwealth Club.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Spoke for an hour. And all she talked about was aviation, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think you know that railroads are very important to me.
Right, sure.
So I like to see railroad issues get considered. But the other thing is, one of the big elephants in the living room nowadays is the fact that the Highway Trust Fund, as it is usually called, has been not collecting enough money to pay for the costs that they're putting out the door for almost a decade now. They've been taking money out of the general fund to prop it up. So the gas tax, which hasn't been increased since, 1991, something like that, something needs to happen. And, you know, of course, the Republicans are not going to raise any taxes. So that's a big nut. And who knows what she's going to bring to the table.
Well, you know, the real question with it, Jeff, and I do know you love railroads. One of the questions on all of this is how do you, you know, who calls the shots? Does the Secretary of Transportation call the shots, or does the person sitting up in the White House say, here's what you're going to do? You know what I mean?
Well, sure. The thing is, though, that it ultimately comes down to how many votes do you have in Congress. And being Transportation Secretary is kind of a bully pulpit for that sector of the economy.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, it's a way of rallying people around whatever cause the administration wants to promote.
So, Jeff, what do you want them to do with railroads?
Oh, well, besides fully fund Amtrak.
Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the railroad companies are, you know, they're private companies, and they're kind of unique in the transportation world that the infrastructure is privately held. It's not publicly owned, and it's not publicly funded for the most part. And that's pretty unique worldwide, American railroads.
Yeah.
And the other thing, which I think Republicans would point to with pride, is that American freight railroading is by far the most efficient in terms of the economics of how much it costs to move freight.
Yep.
Very, very productive.
Yeah. So what do you want done?
What do I want done? What I would like to see is a federal policy that puts more of the cost of heavy trucks onto the trucking industry, which would increase the cost of trucking. People don't really understand how subsidized trucking gets. You know, most of the cost that highway drivers pay in their gas tax goes to subsidize the cost of building bridges that are strong enough to carry the heavy weight, and the pavement structures strong enough to carry the heavy weight of these massive trucks. And that would help the railroads if the truckers paid their fair share. And, you know, this has been lobbied back and forth for decades, and, you know, they'll say, oh, we pay our fair share, but any person who doesn't have skin in the game would say, no, you don't.
I like it. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the wonderful call. I
learned
a lot.
Sure.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. And we'll now go to Kathy. And Kathy is from Seward, New York. Okay, Kathy, go.
Hi. I loved the last gentleman's speaking about railroads. I myself worked for a railroad for many years, and I love the railroads. He failed to mention how much better they are ecologically in, you know, the amount of fuel per ton of cargo that they move.
Well, he did
but
mention.
That was not my original point. My original point was about the appointees, and I think that they will all get approved by the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, regardless of that, I think that Trump is going to have a terrible time trying to, you know, pay for all these things he wants to have, you know, like infrastructure projects. Oh, we're going to rebuild the infrastructure and you know, other things. You know, I've heard time after time from some of his proposals how they are so costly. And up to now, all the Republicans, House and Senate, have tried, you know, we're not spending anything unless you take money from something else. and you know, I mean, I suppose there's a possibility that, you know, he'll take money away from education and health care and all those things that, you know, some of us you know, far left people want to see more of. You know, he'll make that less and less to try to fund, you know, these other things that, you know, because the Republicans won't pass anything that costs them a dime. And that's, you know, what I have to say about it.
Well, you've said what you had to say, and we thank you. We thank you for it, Kathy. You don't sound like you're far left. You said you were far left.
I'm pretty far. I may not be expressing it well.
Who'd
you
vote for?
This conversation, but
who'd you vote for?
Yeah,
Kathy. Who'd you vote for?
Hillary.
How can you be from that far left if you voted for Hillary? You know,
because I thought she might be able to win.
if you wrote in, you know, Chairman Mao or Ralph Nader or something, I think you'd have to.
Well, I lived through you know Nader taking it away from Gore. I didn't
exactly
want to see that happen again.
Well, you're a good person, Kathy. I couldn't agree with you more. I thank you for your call. Thanks again, Kathy.
All bye. Right.
Bye.
You too, Alan. Bye bye.
Okay, we'll go to Gina. Okay, Gina, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm curious if this has gone through your mind because it keeps niggling at me. Trump has this inordinate value that he places on physical attractiveness, and we know that from everything he said and the people he surrounded himself with at his rallies. I actually thought he chose Pence because he was shorter than Trump, but he's absolutely the prototypical, like, powerful white guy. You know, he exudes that. So what I'm questioning is Mitt Romney. I think Mitt Romney has a chance, despite, you know, the rhetoric that went back and forth between them during the election, because he's basically good-looking. He looks like the kind of people Trump wants to surround himself with. Mature people would say this is a ridiculous criteria, right? But I'm actually beginning to believe that that's a very important issue with the president-elect. Has that occurred to you?
Well, my question is, does the guy...
Remember the scorn for Chris Christie? You know, the way he just couldn't keep his scorn for Chris Christie under his hat. I'm just curious if anybody else has thought of that or it's occurred to you.
Well, if you're right, you may be right. Hasn't this guy ever looked in a mirror?
Right, but that's the point. You see,
if he
surrounds himself with beautiful people, then he is just wonderful by association.
I think
he's got the kind of ego and the kind of mentality that could definitely lead him to the assumption that prettier is just better. And that's scary. But you know what? We are in such a strange, you know, void of orbit, you know, situation right now that I'm watching him and I'm thinking, let's see what this cabinet looks like when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
It's going to be white and it's going to be, you know, mostly male, but I bet they're good looking.
Gina, thank you for the great call. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Barry in Scotia. Barry, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I'm going to list some contraries because I'm a contrarian, and I hope you'll let me finish them. But briefly, I just want to say I think the last caller had a very interesting point. I would give a little different twist to it. She may very well be right. It's a feminine intuition. I think that the weirdest president we ever had, the weirdest looking president we ever had, was Barack Obama. But Trump is even weirder looking. So that's my take on that issue. Contrarians. Obama privatized health insurance. He could have gone for single payer, but he didn't, and he didn't get any encouragement from most left people or most public radio stations. He chose to privatize medical care, which is based on a plan that was thought up by Republican think tanks and carried out by a conservative Republican senator in a liberal state. That's privatized health insurance is what he has. And
you
I
mean
think
a governor. You don't, mean
right
a, you don't mean a senator.
This,
whoa.
Oh, you want to argue with me? Let me just finish, okay?
No, I won't.
No, you don't want to. Okay,
no, I just
ahead.
Want to correct a statement of misfact, which is that you
okay,
said
I'm
a
sure
Republican
it's
senator. You mean a Republican governor and
that's
not that
correct,
conservative
Republican
guy.
Governor.
Yeah, go ahead.
And secondly, charter schools is attempt to do for education what privatization has done in the rest of the government. And, of course, our governor, as did Obama, supports to some extent charter schools. Things are a little more tangled than we might think. As far as Trump, my last point, and then you can go and argue with me whatever you want to do. My last point is, would the people who don't like Trump, and I am not a fan of Trump and I didn't vote for him, but the people who don't like Trump and think the people who voted for him are a basket of deplorables, would they rather that these people or the majority or whatever it was, less than 2 million people, voted for Trump or didn't vote, didn't express their views outside the electoral system entirely. That was my final point.
Okay, all interesting points. I don't agree with most of them, but I thank
sure.
you for calling, Barry. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Rachel in Leverett. All right, Rachel in Leverett, you're on.
Hey, Alan, how are you this afternoon?
I'm okay. Some people annoy me, but go ahead.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, but I'm really happy that you give everybody a voice. I think that's important. Yeah,
that's why we're here.
Exactly. Hey, I have two things. As a fellow political scientist, with much less pedigree than you have, of course, I am really curious about the fact that if we make the assumption that Hillary and everyone else believed she was going to win, and as a planner and someone who really knows how the government works, she probably had a lot of plans for what her cabinet was going to look like, not just her transition team, but her cabinet and lots of other appointees moving forward, judicial and otherwise. Whereas Trump fundamentally did not believe he was going to win. And I think he was as shocked and surprised as the other 62 million of us. That being said, I make up he actually hasn't had any time and done any planning, believing or thinking about who he would have in a cabinet. And so I just like put that on the table and wonder how that is going to play out and what that means for the way our government functions moving forward at the federal level.
Well, you know, Rachel,
Go ahead.
I'm very interested in the role that Mike Pence is playing in all of this. As you know, he's been there from the very beginning. He's been included in everything, and he is the transmission belt to the regular Republicans who really hated Trump in this thing.
Right. Oh, sure.
And
yeah,
I think he has a great deal to do with who's getting picked for these jobs. The one that I'm interested in, fellow political scientist, and I'd love to have you check in on, is who's going to be the Secretary of State. Because if they make Rudy Giuliani go ahead.
No, I agree with you completely. Look, I'm a Jersey girl, born and bred, and so New York City was sort of my quote-unquote hometown.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Rudy Giuliani, what a joke. Are you kidding me? And I also, my husband and I live and work overseas, and so we spend a lot of time interacting with diplomatic communities in lots of different countries. And I have to say that I think if Trump wants to do something smart, if he really wants the United States to look good, for God's sake, choose Romney. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a Romney fan, but for goodness sake, let's the last thing we need, I think, is in international forums, the last thing we need is someone with a trigger finger or someone who's hot off the collar, non-thinking, incurious, whatever you want to call Giuliani.
Well,
let's find something less damaging for him to do.
Well, I've been told by many people that I can't use certain words, you know, classifying people. But just let's put it this way. I think Giuliani, at this point in the game, may be a little dysfunctional, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, the other thing that I wanted to comment on was, you know, most of my family and myself as well found it hard to sleep for the few days following the election. And one of the things that I have to remind myself, and my mom was pretty great at this, she's also a political scientist, and she said, look, fundamentally the government runs itself. And I have to find a certain level of solace in the fact that I lived in Washington, D.C. for many years. I have many, many good friends who are instrumental in commerce, in energy, in the interior, in the State Department, lots of friends at USAID. Like, at a certain point, I have to believe that all of the really good and hardworking people who actually run our federal government will keep their heads down and keep us from getting too pear-shaped, as the British would say.
No, they will keep their heads down. However, I think that when you come to things like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, which they want to fool with, and that the people who are sitting there in the bureaucratic seats are going to have to pretty well do what they're told.
Yeah, but Alan, don't you think, just like you said, don't take away my Medicare, don't you think that there will be plenty of people in the country who rise up and go, like that fellow uh, that that gal who spoke to you earlier, Helen or whatever,
yeah,
said that her friend didn't even know that Trump was talking about, you know, repealing or throwing away Obamacare. Like, I think there's some uninformed people out there, but I think, I don't know, I have to make up that if that stuff, some of those sacred cows, I think there are going to be a lot of people who are going, hey, wait, whoa, what? No.
Yeah, when the social, you know, my mom's long past, she was obsessed with her Social Security check. And she would claim it didn't come, and she'd call them up and drive them crazy and do all of those things as she got older and older. I think when that check doesn't show up in that mailbox or get deposited into somebody's account, there's going to be hell to pay.
I agree with you.
Where do you teach, Rachel?
No, I'm an international development specialist, but I got an undergraduate degree in political science at Penn State too many years ago to tell you. And I'm just a huge fan. And I'm also a huge fan of yours, Alan. I listen to you guys all the time. I call into Ray and Vox Pop Food Friday. And I love WAMC. You're doing a great job. And thanks for this program. I think this is really good stuff we're talking about. Thank you.
Rachel, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, so now I'm going to tell everybody what is. Gary is on the phone, and that's the only guy on the phone. So if you want to get your voice on the radio and participate in this, and I hope you will, the number is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back for the duration.
Support for WAMC comes from New England Hydroponics, the indoor gardening experts, offering a full selection of hydroponics, organic soils, and indoor gardening equipment, Southampton and Framingham, Massachusetts, online at nehydro.com. Saratoga Jewish Community Arts presents The Boy in Striped Pajamas, a WW2 story about friendship and the power of human spirit, December 6th at 7 p.m., panel discussion and dessert reception to follow at Temple Sinai, saratogasinai.org. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. George Heigl, Cowan's representative. Accepting consignments of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more. 518-396-7974. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, HydeCollection.org. And the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, featuring enclosed and heated Deck 435, waterfront dining in the center of the Hudson Valley, where the mountains meet the Catskills, the1850house.com.
Well, thank you very much, Zachy. Nice to hear you at the controls and to know you're there, and our wonderful Susie Chekai answering the phones. It's all good here. Now, we have one guy on the phone. His name is Gary, and he's from Clifton Park. And so we have about 18 minutes to go on the show. So anybody wants in, this is the time. Otherwise, I'm going to just talk to Gary for 18 minutes. All right. Gary, you're on.
Hey.
Go ahead, Gary.
18 minutes I have.
Yeah, well, take your time.
Because I have a lot to talk about.
Well, good, but be sure you understand that the minute somebody else calls, you're out of here. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. One concern I have, I kind of looked through Ryan's plan for health care and then the new Department of Health, his plan. They're very similar in that they want to go to a voucher program and break it down. My concern, though, is with the new Department of Health, he wants to eliminate pre-existing conditions. If they break this health insurance down and you have to get new insurance, will you be covered if you have a pre-existing
condition? Well, we're hearing via the pundits and grapevine and people with claim inside access that he is for keeping pre-existing conditions. But of course, nobody ever knows whether the guy's telling the truth, because he says one thing and then he does another and he switches. And frankly, he's a prevaricator. You could say he's a liar. He does tell a lot of lies. So therefore, I can't really answer that. But okay, continue, Gary. You've got more time.
Okay, so I guess he changed from what he wrote to what he's saying now, which is very possible. They flip-flop. The other concern I have, I'm really concerned about our First Amendment rights,
yep,
the freedom of speech.
Yes.
From what I'm hearing, even from Fox News, Megyn Kelly, who's a conservative, she's pushing back on Trump and says if he becomes president, that he cannot attack the press, that they will be allowed to say and speak what they want to do. And just today I heard that Trump wants to put people in jail who burns the flag,
yep,
but the Supreme Court already ruled that that's a right. They can't be jailed. So I'm really concerned that he really doesn't understand law, and he's just come out with a lot of things. And what concerns me the most is him having Steve Bannon as his chief advisor. To me, I think that man is dangerous to our democracy. What's your viewpoint?
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly agree with that. But, Gary, you know, I don't think it's not that he doesn't know things. I think his instinct is I have to throw red meat to the people who voted for me. And if it's the American flag, I'll throw the American flag to them and talk about how people ought to be put in jail. I don't think a lot of people think he's stupid. I don't think he's stupid. I just don't like his ethics or his morality in terms of how he achieved power and how he's going to maintain it.
Right. I agree with you. And I think he's being guided by Steve Bannon, who, you know, if you look at what he's written, that only rich white men should have control.
It's awful.
It's scary.
But I'll tell you something. I think when he chose Bannon as his, quote, senior advisor, which reminds me of the old joke about somebody appointed somebody as the interschlepper with standing with his coat by the door. I don't think he gave him a substantive role. I think what he did was to was not to give him the role he wanted, and instead to put him in this position where he said, "You can have this office next door here. See you later." That's what I think happened. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, Gary, I got to talk to Michael. I appreciate your calling.
Okay,
thanks very much.
All right, then. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks, Gary. Okay. Now we're going to go to Michael. All right. Michael, right now, you're the only one on the phone. As a result, you have the next 13 minutes to talk, unless, of course, somebody else calls, in which case you're out of here. Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, Michael.
I just wanted to voice my real concerns or my chief concerns with the Trump administration are the Supreme Court and the environment and, echoing the previous caller, the First Amendment.
Yep.
I think they could do some real damage. I think on things like health care, there's going to be a lot of political resistance. They're going to find it harder to get traction with that. But they've got a climate change denier running the Myron Ebell,
yep,
running the environmental transition team, and that's not a good sign. And that's really what I wanted to say.
Well, what do you make of that? I mean, is it that? I mean, do you think 70-year-old Trump doesn't understand what the implications of denying this are for his children and his grandchildren?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I follow the climate change deniers, and they're really true believers.
Yeah, they are. There's no question. But, you know, we've lived through a lot of this stuff. My wife, who is a Holocaust scholar, was once viciously attacked by a Holocaust denier. Ah, you know, there were no Jews killed in the Second World War. That's all made up stuff. And the same thing is happening now with this climate denying. All the entire scientific community is saying this is the end. Yep.
Right.
Well, Michael, do you have anything else to say? You better, because you have another, 11 minutes. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Did you vote? Michael. Hello? Michael? Well, I guess Michael's gone. And that means there is no one on the phone right now. Well, I thought I was good at this. Turns out I wasn't. Oh, the phones are all out? All the phones are out. So you could do it by going to WAMC.org. I was assured by our cracked engineering staff that this wasn't going to happen anymore, that the phones weren't going to be out anymore. But apparently not. So that's why we call them our cracked engineering staff as opposed to our crack engineering staff and the people who do that. Okay, here is a note from Gregory. Now, Gregory makes a number of mistakes in this letter, but I want to tell you the first one. He says, Mr. Shartok. Well, he does the one thing the Shartoks can never stand for. He spells it C-H-A-R-T-O-K. He leaves out that final C, and that's really not the way to behave. And Gregory says, can you explain how it would be even possible? Oh, now all three phones are working. That's good. Can you explain how it would be even possible? So, Susie, you can answer those phones. Whoa! Every phone looks like it's ringing now. Looks like Christmas here. Can you explain how it would be even possible to Democrats to block anything proposed by these appointees, the House, Senate, Supreme Court, and President, that they want to put through? I don't understand. See, besides a filibuster, how Republicans can be stopped in the government. Well, it's going to be very, very hard. I think that's right. And I can only say that the power of the people. So if a million people show up in Washington on the 21st or in New York City the same day, if I'm Donald Trump, I'm a little worried about that. I know that, therefore, that the country is sort of torn asunder. And I don't think his ego is going to permit him to sort of sit well with that. And so what can I say? But anyway, I'm going to go and take a chance, okay? All right. And I'm going to talk to Tommy in Neversink. Tommy in Neversink, you're on.
How can so many people be so stupid? I mean, 60 million people voted for this guy. He, aside from policy positions on issues, he's incompetent. He doesn't even want to do the job, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he doesn't want to do the job. I think he thinks it's all a bunch of of craziness.
He has no attention span.
Yeah, I think he thinks, you know.
He can't pay it.
His sense of self is such that none of it means anything. It's all a bunch of garbage. And, you know, I'll say this and I'll do that. And it'll be really simple, which is the way I operated my businesses. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
So, well, what is it going to take for people to care, to vote? You know, we got half the population not voting. Have to
right.
eligible.
Right, that's true.
And these Bernie Sanders people, and I voted for Bernie in New York,
yep.
but he didn't win, so I thought the logical thing to do would be to vote for the same candidate, you know.
That's what I did.
And they just hold on to this theory that the DNC rigged things when the DNC could not rig elections.
Well,
they may have shown some favoritism,
yeah,
but
right.
they could not have had that kind of effect.
Right. Well, you know, this is the kind of fight I've been having with the Naderites and with Nader himself for years. I had Jill Stein on here for an hour in which, you know, she made it clear that these two parties had no differences between them. Oh, yeah? Well, wait till that Social Security check doesn't come or the Medicare is cut down so that you have to do business with one of the insurance companies. I think people will see there are some real differences. But anyway.
It's like, why didn't they see it? Anybody could see what was at stake. Well, I guess they couldn't. I could see what was at stake.
Okay. Well, listen, you know, I'm increasingly a vegetarian, so I don't have much to do with steak. But thank you. Appreciate it a lot. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. And now we're going to go to Kay in Oneonta, and she's on line number two. That's right, line number two. Okay. Kay in Oneonta, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Very well.
Okay, good. I was just calling because you sound lonely. I was
I am lonely. What do you got
in mind? I wasn't going to say anything. I called a couple times. I don't even remember. I was going to stay out of this. But anyways, I was just calling. It all looks gray and it all looks dim as usual. But don't you believe that, like the other woman said, well, one woman says the government runs itself, but who knows if that happens. But if people really are opposed to what he's doing, to just the grassroots organizations just band together, like you said, and push back.
Well, it's all you can do, right? I mean,
exactly. I don't know why we're all sitting here worrying, wringing our hands. What's Trump going to do? We have no real control over it anymore. And but like my mom, she used to belong to the Red Hat Society.
Sure.
You wouldn't believe the women involved in that society. And she said we could, you know, have an influence on the government. And if people like that would think unifiedly, you know what I mean, together.
Yeah.
And the same with AARP. I mean, if people banded together with AARP and stood their ground, I think it's the only avenue we have. Because, one, I don't think he's going to appoint Giuliani. I think if he was going to do that, he would have done it by now. But I could be wrong.
Well, you could be wrong. I hope you're right. Because let me tell you something. I really do believe that there is a potential for leading this country into a brand of fascism.
Yes.
And I am concerned that if a Rudy Giuliani becomes, for example, the Secretary of State or the Attorney General, which he's not because we already have Sessions, you know, I can just see Trump, who's been yelling, the elections are rigged, the elections are rigged. I can see him after 4 years saying, they rigged the election, so we're not going to have an election.
Right, things trying to change the roadmap for everything. But when you took Giuliani with Steve Bannon, I mean, that's just a mixture that we don't want. I mean, one's bad, but together, I can't imagine. But still, what I'm saying is, I mean, there's always a threat to democracy. There's always, and when you look at climate change, and when you look at, those are all driven by, people don't believe them are the people that are profiting from.
Yeah, but don't they have grandchildren? Don't they have children?
People that are greedy and people that have made so much money in an industry, they want. Well, look at Bush. They don't want to give up. You know, I mean, they're just going to be in denial. They will, because you know they're going to lose. What are they going to do?
Well,
you know, all this investment in oil, when we can replace it with renewables in 15, 20 years.
Absolutely true, and we are making great progress. Hey, Kay, thanks for keeping me company here. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to here. Let's see. We'll go to Jeremy in Clifton Park. Jeremy, you're on.
Hey. I don't know. I just wanted to say I'm not really that worried about Trump's presidency. And,
I see.
You know, you talked about fascism. I'm just not sure that that's any more likely than if Hillary had been elected.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anything else?
Also, it's something that's kind of just perplexed me about the election was I would think that more Bernie Sanders supporters would kind of flock to Trump.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he ran, like, completely on getting money out of politics. And Hillary Clinton was just, like, the antithesis of like a corporate, you know, kind of sponsored politician.
Did you vote?
Whereas Trump.
Did you vote?
Yes.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for Trump.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called. You know, we seldom get people who call who say that they voted for Trump. And you think it's not going to be nearly as bad as so many of us doom and gloomers. And that's the point you want to make, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But, I supported Trump before. I mean, I supported Bernie Sanders before I supported Trump until he dropped out of the election.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So, I get that. Okay, listen, I got to let you go because we're out of time. Can you believe that?
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. I wanted to thank John and Samantha and Ian and Joan Marie and Roger and Roger and Jerome, Jeremy and Len and David. They were all waiting on the line, but who knew? I mean, you know, who knew? So there they were, and now they're not. I'm here, and now you're not. So very good. Love you all. Thanks again for being with us and taking care of me this afternoon. And I do want to thank I want to thank somebody, but I don't know how to do it here. Okay, we're about out of time. But support for the Box Pop comes from Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements. Noble-home.net. Hitchcock Center for the Environment, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating their new living building. A net zero energy, net zero water, a teaching center for all ages, tours bi-monthly, HitchcockCenter.org, Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign-making and design services from booklets to stationery, and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, AmherstCopy.com, J. Rich Clothing, Northampton, Massachusetts, fashion-forward men's wear by Theory, Patrick Asaroff, Robert Graham and Diesel, Main Street, Northampton, jrichclothing.com and Instagram. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who was the engineer, Susie Chekai, who did a brilliant job of answering the phones when they rang, our producers Jim Lavoulis. I'm not Ray Graff. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.